guys. So, quick shout out to our sponsor, Third Love, the best bra you'll ever wear. And I'm currently wearing mine, as always, because now I switched out all my old bras and now I only have Third Love bras because they're amazing. And if you're interested, check out the fitting room quiz. Well, you'll answer a few questions and they will find the very perfect bra for you. And if you don't love it, every customer gets 60 days to return. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. Third Love knows your one true fit is out there. So right now they are offering our listeners 20% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/bigmood now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 20% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/bigmood for 20% off today.
Hello, welcome back to Murder Mystery Mood.
Oh, sexy voice.
Yeah, you're getting sexy voices today. I don't know why. I mean,
murder
is true crime
sexy?
No, it's not. It's not. We're talking, it's like this. It's like, All right, well, we made some drinks, and so that's maybe what's making me feel sexy. So I tried to keep the drinks simple for you guys. Just three ingredients. We're making pina coladas today. No blender necessary. A lot of people think that they have to blend their pina coladas. You don't have to. It does make it nice and smooth, but it's very optional. It's still tastes good. So you're gonna want 4 ounces of rum. I used Malibu rum here. 4 ounces of cream of coconut. This is different than coconut milk. This is cream of coconut. Coco Lopez makes a really good one, not sponsored. And then you're gonna want 3 ounces of pineapple juice, and you're just gonna shake it up in a shaker over ice, get it nice and chilled, do it for like 15 seconds, really get that arm workout in, and then strain it over a fresh new cup of ice. So it looks like this. And then you're going to garnish with a cherry or pineapple. Up to you. Mm. Or whatever you want. I mean, no judgment. I just think the cherry looks cute. So
a hot dog.
All right.
Moving on.
Stir it with a hot dog.
No. Except a hot dog. Do not garnish with a hot dog.
Where did that
make a Bloody Mary. Make a Bloody Mary, and then you can
Why
garnish
are you judging, Nikki?
Okay, I do judge. I take it back.
You live in hypocrite town, Nikki.
That's true. Today we are discussing the murder mystery of JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh,
I know. Right? Her. From this, my childhood.
Everybody, right? She would be our age right now. She's actually she would be turning 31 this year. So she could even
our
be,
age, you're putting yourself in that
there is
I'm like, bitch, we're old.
A couple years older, whatever.
Yeah.
I remember her from my childhood for sure. She was just plastered everywhere. Because the thing about this case and why it became so sensational is because sensationalized is because she was this pageant star at like she started her pageants at 4 years old. So she was 6 years old when she was murdered. But she had been winning lots of pageants for 2 years. She was very composed. And so all this footage started coming out of her in these pageants, and it just captured the heart of America. And they were like, oh my gosh, this girl died horrifically, and she was such a beautiful young star. It was in the 90s, but it was just past the 25th anniversary of when she was murdered, and this case is still not solved. And this is one of these cases. The reason why I chose this one, even though it's a big case, I try to go for not super big cases that have been heavily covered, but this one is so crazy because it's one of those where the deeper that you dig, the less you know. Like, you think you know, and then the more you dig, the more you find out that might not be the case and it could be this thing. And it's really, really,
it's like a
really
rabbit
hard
hole story.
And so, exactly. So it really stuck with me, and I'm going to try. There's so much information. Like, you could really spend months digging into all the details of this case. I'm going to try to include as much as possible, but I know I'm going to leave quite a few things out because there's just no way to put it into an hour. But I'm going to try to do as much as possible, and I'm going to try to be...
I'm glad you picked this one, because, like, I do remember hearing her name a lot as a kid, but I just didn't really fully grasp the entire story.
Yeah.
And then there were certain, like, conspiracy theories that she wasn't really killed or something, and that
they found her body, right? So that's kind of just ridiculous,
right? But then, like, you know, theories of like, oh, that was someone else. Who knows? I don't know this whole story, so I'm really eager to hear the whole thing.
Yeah, well, good, strap in.
Strap on.
Okay, so I'm gonna start with what we know, because there are so many theories. There are books, documentaries, tons of them, and depending on which one you watch or read, the person telling it has their own theory, and it's usually a completely different theory than the next one. So here's what we know for sure. This is like all
facts,
okay? And then I'll get to the suspects and why they're suspects. So we're in Boulder, Colorado. We got a family of four. And by the way, Boulder, Colorado is like this like bubble. Like it's like rich, like a fairy tale land. It's like got trees and snow. It's like beautiful.
Snow bunny.
It's just like this little like resort area almost. Mm. I think there's a college there too, but like there's like, it's just really nice. It's very touristy. It doesn't feel unsafe at all. It's just very beautiful. Okay. We got a family of four. We got Patsy Ramsey, who's the mother. We got John Ramsey, who's the father. We got Burke, their son, and JonBenet, the daughter. Burke is 9, JonBenet is 6. Okay, after attending a Christmas party on Christmas Day, so it's Christmas, they go open presents, they go to a family friend's house, they have a little get-together, a party, the Ramseys go home, and then JonBenet and Burke go to bed. The morning of December 26th, 1996, Patsy Ramsey, the mom, discovers a ransom note on the back staircase of their home. Their home is like 6,000 square feet, so they got a back staircase.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, it's over 6,000 square feet. So the ransom note states that their 6-year-old daughter, JonBenet Ramsey, has been kidnapped, and they will give her back in exchange for money. For $118,000, to be exact.
Oddly specific.
Very odd number.
$118,000?
Yes.
And 42 Someone cents. From 10 years ago was like, man, I needed $100,000, and then plus like the cost of living increase, I need $118,000.
It wasn't even that much.
I really
got to
pay this
then.
Person back.
But we'll get to that weird number soon. Okay, so there's a lot of weirdness with this ransom note, but we're going to dissect all of it. So
was it cut out, like letters of the...
No, but it gets weird. Okay, so... She finds a ransom note. Patsy immediately... Oh, by the way, it says not to call the police or they'll kill the daughter. Patsy calls the police right away. Like, 911 immediately. It's,
okay.
It's 5:52 a.m.
She called their bluff, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
She's like, didn't even think about it. Police. No, she's right? In hysterics. She's calling the police to report her daughter is missing. The police... royally botch this investigation.
Oh,
just like from the freaking jump. Okay, so they go over there and it's like there's people already there, like from the Ramsey's friends and family. There are people streaming through the whole house.
Oh my God.
So the whole like scene is getting contaminated. They're in every room, they're passing the note around.
Oh my god,
just everything is getting contaminated, and the investigators don't really say anything because they say at that time they had no reason to suspect that the crime scene was the house. So they were like, whatever about it. But, I mean, if she got kidnapped from the house...
Yeah, is there, like, junior police or what?
It was an off day for the police station, they say.
Having a bad day?
In hindsight.
It was after Christmas. They were all drunk and hungover.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's their B team.
Or maybe they don't really have a lot of crime there, so they're just not
true
very qualified for like such a murder.
The investigator that got left that day,
Boulder,
she hadn't dealt with any homicide cases or kidnapping cases at all. She was pretty new. Okay, so they botch it from the beginning. Some of their friends are helping Patsy wipe down the kitchen.
What?
Like, they're destroying this crime scene, okay?
No way.
All the police leave because they want to go find JonBenet. It's a kidnapping case. So all the police leave except for one officer, Linda Arndt. I don't know how to say her last name. Arndt. In the ransom note, it says the kidnapper will call between 8 and 10. So 8 a.m. and 10 a.m., they're going to call. Well, 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. passes, and they never called. The Ramseys didn't even seem too concerned with meeting their demands by the deadline. Like, they just were waiting for this call. It didn't happen. They were like, I guess it didn't happen. So then the officer that's there is like, why don't we just take one more look around the house just to, like, make sure we've really... searched every crevice.
I mean, it's 6,000 square feet, so yeah.
Yeah, maybe there's a place that people didn't go. Supposedly, and this is according to a police officer, John, the dad, beelines to the basement where there's a spare room, finds the daughter immediately, JonBenet Ramsey. Her body is deceased, and it's wrapped in a white blanket. There's duct tape over her mouth, and her hands are bound above her like this. And... he takes the blanket with the body and brings her up the stairs. He was also told not to touch anything if he finds anything. But he brings his daughter up the stairs and lays her on the floor of the living room where everybody was walking. And then puts a new blanket on top of her, further contaminating the scene. And that's when they were like, okay, she's in fact confirmed dead. The autopsy found that JonBenet was bludgeoned to death, so she had like a crack in her skull. But then the coroner said it was death by strangulation because she also had what's called a garrote. A garrote around her neck, which is a way of strangling somebody. This particular one was with a wire. And then one of Patsy's paintbrushes was used to tighten behind her neck.
Geez.
Yeah. Oh,
that's super weird.
Right? Why both?
That's a weird, yeah.
There was DNA found on JonBenet's long johns and on her underwear belonging to a single unidentified man. And they searched this DNA among 1.5 million samples and could not find a match. Samples from like known pedophiles and molesters.
And her own family.
And her own family. Yeah. And her own family. They could not find a match. They did find two sets of unidentified footprints at the scene. And a rope that did not belong to the Ramseys was found by JonBenet's room. There were no footprints in the snow outside the house and no sign of forced entry.
Well, we can't even trust all that because they contaminated the whole fucking crime scene.
Yeah, that's true. But in the towards the basement or away from the basement where she was found,
like where the actual body was.
Yeah, there were no footprints that were going in and out.
No broken windows or doors. Or anything.
Like unknown footprints because it was the dad.
Yeah, there were unknown footprints in the house. So one footprint belonged to. Oh, so there were two sets of unknown footprints, and they had shoes that didn't match any of the shoes that the Ramseys owned. The police officer said they did search that area, but the room was kind of like connected to the basement, and they didn't know it was like a whole room. They just thought it was a closet. They were looking for points of entry from the outside, and once they realized the door swung the wrong way, they were like, oh, that can't possibly be a door for the outside. So they just didn't even look in there.
Wow.
These are the worst cops ever.
I know. Jeez. They really fucked up the first initial touchdown of this scene. Okay. Let's get to the note, though, because the note is so fucking weird and shady and bizarre. Like, the note is what won't get out of people's minds.
Love, definitely not the dad.
Right? Okay. First of all, it's so long. It's 2.5 pages.
Jeez.
Oh, a ransom note. That's 2.5 pages. Like, so most ransom notes, just for comparison, if you're not used to seeing a ransom note, they're really straight and to the point. So it's just like, we have your kid. She's safe. It'll cost you $500,000 to get her back. Don't call the police. We'll be contacting you.
Yeah, boom, mine done, is usually like gone. Two sentences.
Right.
This one's like a manifesto or something.
I know, this is like
2.5 pages.
So listen, I need ransom because my mom is in the hospital. So many details. She broke her leg, but she also found out that she has diabetes. So I really need money for.
I'm going to read it right now.
You have the whole thing?
My favorite color is blue.
Wait, you have 2.5 pages?
Well, 2.5 pages on a notepad. So it's not that long, like a written out. But okay. So here's how it goes. Mr. Ramsey, listen carefully. We are a group of individuals that represent a small foreign faction. We, crossed out, respect your business, but business is misspelled, but not the country that it serves. At this time, we have your daughter in our possession. Possession's also misspelled. She is safe and unharmed, and if you want her to see 1997, you must follow our instructions to the letter. You will withdraw $118,000 from your account. $100,000 will be in $100 bills, and the remaining $18,000 in $20 bills. Make sure that you bring an adequate size attaché to the bank. Attaché also had an accent mark in the proper place.
What so is
they,
that?
But the they couldn't spell the other words.
Were misspelled. Wow. Okay. But like,
oh, because they're foreign.
French that's why.
Right, right. A small
French,
foreign
Canadian.
Faction. We don't know.
What's attaché?
A bag.
Like, that's all I'm calling it from now on. From now on, that's what
so
I'm
bring an adequate size bag to the bank. When you get home, you will put the money in a brown paper bag. I will call you between 8 and 10 a.m. tomorrow to instruct you on delivery. The delivery will be exhausting, so I advise you to be rested. If we monitor you getting the money
what?
Early.
Even advice is given?
Yeah. So get a lot of sleep, okay?
Yeah, make sure you eat lunch, too.
If we monitor you getting the money early, we might call you early to arrange an earlier delivery of the money and hence an earlier delivery. And then it's crossed out and it says pickup of your daughter. Any deviation of my instructions will result in the immediate execution of your daughter. You will also be denied her remains for proper burial. The two gentlemen watching over your daughter do not particularly like you, so I advise you not to provoke them. Speaking to anyone about your situation, such as police, FBI, etc., will result in your daughter being beheaded. If we catch you talking to a stray dog, she dies. If you alert the bank authority, she dies. If the money is in any way marked or tampered with, she dies. You will be
Hotel
scammed.
Trivago.
You will be scanned for electronic devices, and if any are found, she dies. You can try to deceive us, but be warned that we are familiar with law enforcement countermeasures and tactics. You stand a 99% chance of killing your daughter if you try to outsmart us. Follow our instructions, and you stand a 100% chance of getting her back. You and your family are under constant scrutiny, as well as the authorities. Don't try and grow a brain, John. You are not the only fat cat around, so don't think that killing will be difficult. Don't underestimate us, John. Use that good Southern common sense of yours. It's up to you now, John. Victory, SBTC. We don't
know
what the initials.
So weird.
It's super weird.
Because she was just in the fucking basement the whole time.
Yeah. So she was in the basement the whole time. It was also like, there's a couple weird pieces. So one, the $118,000 we talked about earlier being a weird amount. There was also the exact amount that John got a bonus for Christmas from his company. Mm-hmm. So how many people know that, right? They also say that we respect your business, but not the country that it serves. As if this is like an international affair. They also call themselves a small foreign faction. So they're trying to like make themselves sound big and almighty, but then they call themselves small, which really contradicts their power. And it's almost like someone saying like, oh, we're powerful, but you probably don't know us, you know?
We're also, if they were foreign, powerful terrorists,
they wouldn't call themselves foreign.
Yeah.
Like they would just say what country they're from or whatever, but they wouldn't say foreign because they're only foreign if they're not from America. It's only foreign to Americans.
Really dumb. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really, really dumb. It's also been discovered that a lot of the verbiage in here were lines directly taken from movies.
Yeah,
so the whole,
that's what I was going to say.
You do this, she dies. She dies. So the movie Ransom was actually playing in the theaters at that time in Boulder, Colorado. And a lot of the lines from the bottom where it's like, you're not the only fat cat in town.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds fake, like a movie or something.
Yeah, Dirty Harry and this movie called Ransom and a couple other movies, especially the Don't Try to Grow a Brain, John. So it's just someone like trying to make what a ransom note might sound like in their brain from like watching it.
But they overdid it by like a lot.
Yeah.
Like they were just
so
trying.
Details.
They could have just wrote two sentences. We need money or your daughter dies.
That's like a typical liar. Like, you know, when you ask them like, hey, so what is this thing that I found? Oh, well, you know, it's just because like when I was coming back from work and then like I just ended up bumping into like that one lady that,
you know, the lady I told you about. Like, oh my god.
They think that the details makes it sound more realistic, but then it's just like
sound like more of a liar.
You're telling way too many details for such a small story.
It's just too much.
So also the FBI says that they have never had one kidnapping case in history where the ransom note was 2.5 pages long and had never had a case where the body was then found in the house. And on top of this, the ransom note was written at the crime scene with using a pen and pad from inside the house. So they wrote, whoever the kidnapper was, wrote the whole ransom note from inside the house using their stuff and then put the pen and paper back.
And then just killed her anyway and put her in the basement.
Yeah.
So.
Even normal people steal the pen after.
Yeah. you just don't even think. You just put it in your pocket.
Yeah.
Unless it was habit for you to put it back.
Yeah.
Right, because you live there.
Interesting. A practice note was also found.
Oh,
rough draft.
So the first part of a note. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, they practiced and still messed up so bad?
Yeah, it looked like...
Can we just spend this video bullying the people who wrote the note? Like, you guys are fucking dumb.
Well, that's what the news did, so...
I don't even remember the part about the note.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I guess I was like 10 or something.
Honestly, the more you dig into this case, the note is the one thing, like... really holding it up, like, that makes it seem like it was somebody in the Ramsey family. But there was no DNA left on the clothing. And if you want DNA-free clothing...
Oh, boy.
Our sponsor, nice Stitch segue. Fix, is going to love that transition.
Good Lord.
Online shopping can be daunting. You never know if things will fit, returns are difficult, and you don't even know what store to start with. Well, that's me. I don't know where to shop. I barely like any brand for all of its line. I never know where to go. I'm like, I like one piece from here, one piece from there, but I don't know what to do. It's too much for me to deal with and a waste of my time. I would rather someone else shop for me, and I just say if I like it or not and send it back if I don't. This season, you can let Stitch Fix do all the hard work. They offer clothing hand-selected by expert stylists for your unique size, style, and budget. It's a completely different and fun way to find clothes you will love to wear. You basically just go on, take a little quiz, what kind of clothes you like. You pick the pictures of, yeah, I like that style, I'll try those clothes, or absolutely don't send me that, and then they won't. So the stylist will take your notes. You could try on the pieces at home before you buy them. Keep what you love and return what you don't. They have a prepaid return envelope included. And there's no subscription required. You don't have to shop every month. You can just shop when you want. You could try it once or set up the automatic deliveries. You'll pay just a $20 styling fee for each box, which gets credited towards the pieces you keep. And there are no hidden fees ever. Stitch Fix also has styles and clothing to fit any occasion for men, women, and kids. They ship all over the U.S. and it's also available in the U.K. So get started today at stitchfix.com/mood and you'll get 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. That's stitchfix.com/mood for 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. stitchfix.com/mood.
Mood. And if you're wearing brand new clothes and you're looking great, you want to make sure that you're wearing some nice, comfortable underwear, right? That's where Third Love comes in. Third Love, they make these amazing bras that I'm actually wearing right now. There you go, a little peek right there. And honestly, all my bras are now Third Love. I got rid of all my other bras because they were not comfortable. I would always have issues with like the sizing, especially the cups or even the band. Like sometimes when the band fits you too tight, you end up getting that like side fat coming out and it's not attractive. It actually digs in, not cute. Also the straps, you know, like no matter how much I would try to adjust the straps, for some reason I always had issues with my previous bras, but not with Third Love, because before getting my bra I took their Fit Finder quiz. But now Third Love just launched their fitting room. And so it's a new and improved version of the quiz that focuses on size, breast shape, current fit issues, and your personal style to deliver bras and underwear that are perfect for you. Fit stylists are available for one-on-one chats to answer any questions as well. And if you don't love it, every customer has 60 days to return, and returns and exchanges are free and super easy. You just put it back in the box that they shipped you your stuff in, and then you throw it in the post office, and you're good to go. So break up with your bad bra and fall in love with better bras and underwear. From classic lace that actually feels soft to their number one rated 24/7 classic t-shirt bra. Check out all their exclusives at thirdlove.com. Third Love knows your one true fit is out there, so right now they're offering our listeners 20% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/bigmood now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 20% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/bigmood for 20% off today.
Hooray! Hooray! All right, so back to this fucked up ransom note. Okay.
I just finished that whole entire drink and I can write a better ransom note right now.
Right?
Right. These things are good, right? They're way too strong.
Oh, by the way, the pina colada, so pineapples were JonBenet Ramsey's favorite fruit. Aww. So tribute to her. R.I.P. baby girl. We love you.
Yeah.
So this note, people have commented that parts of it kind of sound maternal. Like the part...
Maternal?
Yeah, like about getting enough rest. I advise you to get enough rest. Like it's hard for people to imagine a man writing to get enough rest. And like it sounds a little bit like a housewife to some people. So where they're like, make sure you get enough rest. Make sure you bring a big enough bag. Like most... ransom note leavers maybe wouldn't be concerned about what bag size or how much rest you got, and also about like whether or not you get the remains back for a burial, right. You know, so people were kind of like, it seems a little bit maternal, but you know, that's like opinion,
and it's also really dumb.
Yeah, it's quoted from movies and stuff. They did take handwriting samples from the whole family. Burke and John's handwriting was ruled out completely, but Patsy's came back inconclusive.
Oh, really?
Meaning some parts of the note could be a match.
She dots her eyes with a heart.
Yeah, no. I was actually watching a handwriting sample person or a handwriting analysis person go over what parts were similar and what parts weren't, and they were like, you know, the way the A's were drawn here and the way Patsy draws her A's where you lift the pen at this part and blah blah blah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but a lot of people do that, so it's not like it could be her or it could not be her. Like it's equal chances, could be her, couldn't be her. Yeah,
but they said, and there was no way it was the dad.
Yeah, no way it was the dad, no way it was the son.
But the dad knew where the body was, but it was apparent. collab.
Maybe
she was jealous of how beautiful her daughter was.
So she also, Patsy was also a state champion debater. She graduated magna cum laude.
Well, then she couldn't have written that stupid
with that
ass
spelling with a degree. But it seemed like in the note they were trying to purposely misspell some words. There was also wobbly letters, like someone was trying to kind of disguise their handwriting in it. Like it wasn't consistent with the rest of the way they did the handwriting. She graduated with a degree in journalism and a minor in advertising. She was well-educated, intelligent, and a good writer. There were editor's marks used in at least one spot, and Patsy would have been familiar with these marks.
Mm. Wait, what are editor's marks?
They're like, I actually don't even know. Oh. Like, I think the attaché, like the accents, maybe, over certain words. But it just says editor's marks.
Hmm.
Yeah. I did not graduate magna cum laude with journalism, but Patsy would know what that meant. And then the writer of the note had a large vocabulary. Even though they tried to disguise it with misspellings, they betrayed themselves with the correct use and spelling of advanced words. So this drew a lot of people towards thinking that maybe it was an inside job. Like maybe the parents did it either by accident or maybe on purpose, but maybe by accident, okay? So there was a lot of attention towards Patsy and John Ramsey, specifically Patsy because of this possible match for the handwriting, and then that maybe John was, like, helping her because, like, he knew where the body was right away, and there was no signs of forced entry. Other than that, they also had an army of lawyers that was preventing the police from doing a proper investigation. So it took them, the police, like, it took them forever to, like, be able to interview the Ramseys because they had, like, friends and lawyers being like, give them space to grieve. Like, how dare you? They just got, like, their child, they just found their child murdered in their home. Like, they are not doing well. Give them space. And then the family immediately within the days following flew to Atlanta, Georgia to have JonBenet Ramsey's body buried there because that was, I guess, their hometown. And John had another daughter that died in a car accident.
Okay.
Yeah, that was buried there.
How old was she?
I don't know how old she was, but she was one of his, it was before Patsy, is before in his previous marriage. Yeah.
Hmm.
So she got buried there, and they were like, the police were like, okay, let them bury their daughter. They'll come back. We'll interview them. But instead, the Ramseys then go meet with CNN in Atlanta and do a national TV interview before talking to the police.
Oh, shit.
So in this interview, they're like, the killer's still out there. Like, help us. They're like crying. They're giving all these things. So the police thought it was kind of weird that they couldn't speak to the police. Yeah. They couldn't even get out of bed, but they went to Atlanta and gave an interview with CNN.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing looks good on this family at all.
Right? So there's a lot of things that just don't look good. It's not a good look. Whether or not they're guilty, that's a different topic, but it just doesn't look good.
I mean, they rushed to call the cops even though the note said not to, but then now they won't speak to
them. And
the
then
cops.
They weren't even trying to get money together or anything.
Yeah.
Okay. They also were hiding medical records. They were hiding phone records. And then when they were released, apparently there was no activity at all in December. So that was very odd. The police didn't get to separate them and interview them until a year and a half later.
What?
Yeah.
A year and a half?
I don't know. Like, that was the first time they actually got, like, a proper interrogation separately. Yeah, because the lawyers just kept for preventing things.
Why would you not speak to the police?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Seriously?
There were no footprints outside. The note was written from inside the house. There was a theory that started circulating that Patsy accidentally killed JonBenet over bedwetting. You probably heard this one. This was one of the earlier theories because the nanny had said that she had gotten really angry at JonBenet a few times for wetting the bed. So there was a theory circulating in the public that maybe Patsy, you know, accidentally killed her over bedwetting, and then they staged the note and the strangulation to make it look like someone broke in, you know?
Wait, the cause of death was the strangulation or the blood bludgeoning?
So there's debate on that. So apparently,
didn't you say the coroner said it was the strangulation? But
yeah.
Then
so it doesn't add up that it would be an accident and then covered up with the strangulation because apparently, according to the evidence, JonBenet was still alive during the strangulation.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She was passed out from the bludgeoning, but she was still alive.
Whoa.
Okay. Other things that didn't add up is that about the it being the Ramses is that JonBenet had markings on her neck consistent with a stun gun.
Huh.
And the Ramses don't own a stun gun. Also, the footprints that they found were from High Tech Shoes, a brand called High Tech, and they don't match any of the shoes in the Ramsey house.
Well, I mean, they would have just probably gotten rid of the shoes, right?
Maybe. Or also, there were like people walking throughout the house, so I don't know how they're even able to say that these two sets of footprints were from... I don't know. I don't know how they were able to rule that.
And they could have thrown away the stun gun, too, so they never owned one.
Yeah.
Given to a friend. Maybe. Take it out of here. When they say, like, oh, they never owned that, I'm like, how do you know they didn't have it?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You know, at some point.
Yeah, or giving it to a friend to get it rid of.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? In 1999, a grand jury actually tried to indict the Ramses on child abuse cases, on child abuse leading to murder. Like, that would be the charge that they would be getting charged for. But the DA said that there wasn't enough evidence. And the grand jury had ultimately decided to indict them because of the lack of evidence of an intruder and because of Patsy's handwriting being maybe a match. But inevitably, DNA cleared the whole family. So the entire family got exonerated because they didn't match the DNA on her underwear or the long johns, right? Who is this mystery DNA
person? What kind of DNA?
It didn't say. It just said DNA. So not that kind
Fluids,
of DNA.
Yeah.
Although some sources say there was evidence of sexual abuse using the paintbrush.
I mean, what DNA
was
using
the paintbrush?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And also some sources say there was a droplet of blood found. But I don't know. So let's talk about some of the suspects who are not the Ramses. Just to a lot of the news just focused heavily on
Ramses. They only suspected the mom or the dad. They didn't suspect the brother?
Not in the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Not really in the beginning. But later they did. And so I'll get to that part.
I think that's the one I heard, but yeah, we can.
Yeah,
that's what I was about to ask.
As this case gets older and older and DNA DNA investigating gets more, what's it called, evolved, like the science gets better, they're able to reopen certain parts of this case, and so new theories come out and new suspects, and that's why there's so many different theories now, because there's just not enough evidence for any of the suspects.
Yeah, otherwise something would have happened by now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so here are some of the suspects that sound pretty legit. This first one, his name is Bill McReynolds. He visited the family house a few days before the murder. So some people were speculating that maybe the intruder had been hiding in the house for days to weeks, you know, because
it's so big.
Yeah, it's so big.
No forced entry.
Mm-hmm. Maybe someone they knew.
They came over for a house party and stayed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And maybe it was someone that JonBenet trusted. And so she followed him down there. Who knows? So Bill McReynolds had visited the family house a few days before the murder. Sometimes he would come, he would dress up like Santa during Christmas parties. He would hand out gifts. His own daughter was kidnapped 22 years before the murder.
Whoa. Jesus.
His wife wrote a play about a child getting molested and then murdered in a basement.
Oh my God.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, when did she write that one? Before or after?
Before.
Wow.
Yeah. But he said he felt really close to her, and he says, quote, her murder was harder on me than my operation. She made a profound change in me, end quote. She actually, JonBenet at one point had given him a vial of glitter as a gift during Christmas, and he brought that vial of glitter with him into his heart surgery. He said that in all his years playing Santa Claus and giving out gifts, that was the first time ever a child had ever given him a gift back. Mm. So it meant a lot to him. He brought it into surgery, and he even told his wife that if he were not to make it out of the surgery alive, to mix the glitter in with his ashes.
Oh, that's wow. So cute. Shit, I want glitter ashes. I want do that for me.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, yeah, you guys think it's cute. The media did not think it was cute.
I was about to say, I'm like,
very creepy.
Why mix glitter of like the neighbor girl?
You know what? Yeah, that is a little too intimate, I guess, to be like, oh, this little vial of glitter is so important. Yeah. I guess if I just pictured him initially, I just pictured him like a grieving, because you said his daughter was initially so it's like that whole of his little girl that he had missing, and now it's like there's this little other little girl that like is standing in for that, and that you know, that's like a broken hearted.
Honestly, after thinking about this case for a long time, I do feel more that way. I think the media kind of
but they initially just
made it sound creepier
without knowing that his daughter died, or like if he didn't have a child that died or a daughter that died previously, then there's no way that would make any sense. But being a grieving father, it makes more sense.
Yeah. Also, I feel really bad that like if he was just that was a sweet thing, and then like the media
everyone made him creepy.
It.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
Some guys are just like big teddy bear sweethearts. Yeah. You know? And like
he could have been a creep.
He could have been. Yeah.
But
we don't know.
We don't know.
Those coincidences with the wife writing that play. I'm like,
pretty
why?
Weird. Yeah. Right.
Maybe the wife told them that the Ramses. About the play, and they decided to. They remembered it. They're like, "Oh, let's do that play thing."
Maybe so there was also two sets of footprints,
and they can pin it on that guy. Yeah.
Okay. The next. Oh, ultimately, he was not a match for the DNA evidence. Okay, so he was cleared. The next suspect we have. His name is Gary Oliva. He lived a few blocks away from the Ramses. In December of 2000, he was arrested on unrelated drug charges and was carrying a photo of JonBenet. Huh. He explained to the officers that her death touched him very much. He felt a need to build a shrine to remember her.
Okay, creepy.
Yeah. That's creepy. And then in 2016, he was arrested for child pornography.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That guy's way creepier, obviously.
Totally. And actually, the more stuff comes out, like during this time period, they actually had 35 to 40 registered sex offenders in their neighborhood. Whoa. Like around them, and she's performing, she's this,
like the little sexy thing.
And like if you see the footage of her, which the footage was everywhere, she was like, it seemed like a little adult, you know, like
full-blown makeup.
Those pageants are weird.
They're very weird. And so like ultimately a lot of people are kind of on the side of, even if the parents didn't kill her, they exposed her to all these creepy people. So they kind of are mad at that. Like, why did you exploit your child? And like, but Patsy herself was a pageant queen.
Yeah.
So she was kind of in that.
That's kind of tough. Zone. It's kind of tough because, like, I mean, I get the pageant thing, and I get that being something you want to share with your child. Like, your daughter's gonna, you know, they that's like a cultural
and
thing.
This
they passed
before
down.
Social media.
Yeah.
This was like way before.
I don't
before
think they realized she was gonna be as famous as she was. Right. Like, I mean, a lot of like little pageant kids go around. They just do some little local pageants, and then they go off to college and they're cheerleaders or something. But like, I don't think anyone expected her to be. You know, so it's kind of weird to be like, oh, you did this by exposing her to the world. But like, she just got famous. Like, how does that happen? That didn't happen to.
And it was kind of the reason that she got sensationalized, too. This was like as close to going viral as you could get at this time period. Yeah. She was in every single magazine, in every grocery store. I remember just seeing her everywhere. So this Oliva guy, this creep guy. He got, you know, charged with child pornography. What's even weirder is that the day after JonBenet's murder, his high school friend named Michael Vail says that the day after the murder, Gary Oliva called him and said, "I heard a little girl. I heard a little girl." According to the friend, hurt? "I hurt.
Ooh.
Oh, I hurt shit. A little girl. I hurt a little girl."
Oh, fuck. He and called who now?
His friend from high school.
Wow.
So Gary's friend from high school.
Yeah, Gary Oliva, the creepo. Called his friend from high school the day after the murder and said, I hurt a little girl. According to the friend, Gary also revealed the location of where he hurt the girl, which was Boulder, Colorado. Oh. And according to police records, no other little girl was harmed in Boulder, Colorado on that night.
Wow.
Vail, the friend, also revealed that the strangulation method that was used on JonBenet with the wire, you know, the garrote, was also used by Gary previously when he attempted to strangle his own mother with a telephone cord.
How is this not enough evidence?
Right?
How is that not
this
enough?
This seems like a lot of evidence.
It's all like circumstantial, I guess.
And then did they check if he owned those pair of shoes and the DNA?
So the witness testimony means nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Well, not witness. There was no witnesses.
Phone call.
Well, he said he called his friend. Like, why would he make that up? My friend called me and told me he did it. Why would he make that up?
So he was brought in, but he was not a match for the DNA. So they cleared him.
Mm. So that's the only thing that they're using.
Yeah, to clear people.
It's literally only whoever's DNA.
Yeah.
Could that DNA not, like, because I want to know what kind of DNA it is. Because what could that have been, just something else, like, unrelated to the murder?
Well, we'll get
to
that.
Or is it, like, fucking cum? Like, okay.
Well, we have more information about the DNA.
That's what's frustrating me.
Yeah. Okay, So before I get to the next couple suspects, because it gets juicier, yes. Okay.
She was blonde, right?
She was blonde. Yeah. To keep your hair that blonde, you got to have some good shampoo, because it could get brittle, especially if it's bleached.
Transition. I'm not proud of that one.
No. Function of Beauty is a great oh my god, I freaking love this brand.
I do.
My hair has been forever changed by this shampoo. And well, actually, they make way more than shampoo and conditioner. They also make body wash.
Yeah, I finally use a body wash, and I'm like, oh my god, why did I prevent myself from having this pleasure?
It's so good.
It smells so bomb. It makes my skin feel so good.
If you haven't tried it yet, like, the hype is real. Seriously, believe the hype. You go online, you complete a test, right? Like all these quizzes that these custom quizzes all these mm-hmm. companies do. This one's so legit. So the quiz is like, what's your hair type? Like, is it wavy? Is it straight? How thick is it? They quiz you about your hair. Then they quiz you about your hair goals. Like, do you want it shiny? Do you want more volume? Like, what is it you want? Then they're able to, there's like 300,000 combinations. No, there's 54 trillion possible formulations. Whoa. Oh my God. And then Function of Beauty has over 50,000 five-star reviews. But yeah, so all those formulations, they make the most custom formula for you, and then you even get to pick out the scent and the color. I think mine that I'm using right now is peach, and I use peach with the peach scent, but I've used them all. I've done the eucalyptus, I've done the rose.
Yes, yeah, my favorite.
It's really good. Okay, and then it's a subscription, so you never have to buy off the shelf just to be disappointed ever again. Go to functionofbeauty.com/bigmood to take your quiz and save 20% off your first order. That applies to their full range of customized hair, skin, and body products. Go to functionofbeauty.com/bigmood to let them know that we sent you and to get 20% off your order. functionofbeauty.com/bigmood.
Big mood.
Yeah.
Imagine jumping into the shower and not turning on the water, just wiping your body with dry paper.
Ew.
People would call you crazy, right? That's weird.
Yeah.
So why are you wiping your butt with just a dry piece of toilet paper?
Right?
Bring your mama into the future with the brand new Hello Tissue 3.0 Modern Bidet Attachment. It's stylish, eco-friendly, easy to install, and will help stop flushing her retirement down the toilet in teepee costs.
You don't need a plug or an outlet either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It cleans your butt like a champ, but it doesn't stop there. It also cleans itself with the Smart Spray Automatic Self-Cleaning Nozzle. When we say anyone can put this shit together, we mean even your parents. It's true.
My parents?
Yeah. You know how many times your parents have to ask you to remember their password?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she can actually install a Hello Tissue by herself. Okay. Hello Tissue 3.0 attaches to their existing toilet with no electricity, extra plumbing, or tech support FaceTimes to you, and cuts toilet paper use by 80%. So that means the Hello Tissue bidet pays for itself in only a few months. Hmm. Plus, every Hello Tissue bidet attachment comes with a 60-day risk-free guarantee and a 12-month warranty. You know how Asian parents love that. So give the gift of a clean butt to your mama. Go to hellotissue.com/bigmood to get 10% off plus free shipping. This is a special offer for our listeners. It's at hellotissue.com/bigmood for 10% off. Again, that's hellotissue.com/bigmood.
Is that because Mother's Day is coming up?
Yeah.
Yeah, she deserves a bidet.
Yeah. How many times do you actually like think about your mom having a dirty butt, you know? So now's a chance to clean it.
Plus the puns of the car, like Happy Mother's Bidet.
Ah.
Yeah. Got him. Moving on the list of suspects. This next guy, fucking weirdo. Okay. This guy, John Mark Carr. Do you remember him at all?
No.
Okay.
There's a lot of Johns in this.
Yeah, there are. Yeah. And there's a lot of Michaels who are friends. Mm-hmm. It's really weird. Okay. So John Mark Carr didn't become a suspect until 10 years later in 2006. Ooh. Yeah. He confessed to the murder via email to a journalism professor named Michael Tracy. Another Michael, right? Michael Tracy, who had been emailing with this dude for 4 years to gain his trust. So he's just emailing this weirdo suspect for 4 years to try to gain his trust.
How did he become a suspect?
I don't even know like what they talked about. But yeah, he
about this journalist is like really digging in for this story. Jesus.
It's like, who lived within the fucking 3 mile radius?
Well, imagine being the one that breaks the case that.
I guess so. Because
at this point, it's been 10 years. They're like, this is a long.
But why is this person still even thinking about it? I don't know.
I want to know how he even became a suspect for this journalist at all.
Honestly, I don't know, other than the fact that the cops had a list of suspects that they felt like they narrowed it down. The one of the
so he was on this list.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
One of the original statements by the Boulder Police Department was that we have a list and your name is on it, and it's only a matter of time until the last person on the list is you. Like, that was their like threat to whoever was out there that did this. Mm. So this guy was on the list. So John Mark Carr ends up emailing this journalist a confession, and he details a really gruesome story of how he killed JonBenet. He used similar verbiage to the ransom note and even used Patsy's mom's nickname, Nettie, which was like, how did he even know that?
Oh, shit.
We don't know.
Patsy's mom's nickname?
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, for grandmother, then. So JonBenet's grandmother?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe she said his name.
Wait,
maybe
the
she
grandmother's said her name? Nickname for
the
who?
The nickname. Just her nickname that her she went nickname. By. Yeah, but she only went by that to the family. So, like, how did he know that? He also confessed he was in love with JonBenet. He confessed to hitting JonBenet in the head with the flashlight. He said that he never meant to disgrace her. And the saddest part that really hurts him is that she was left there. Like, he didn't mean for her to ever, like, stay in that room. That, like, he didn't mean to disgrace her. It was just unfortunate what happened. It was kind of an accident. Okay.
What about the strangulation?
Yeah, exactly.
He accidentally hit her on the head.
It's like, oh, well, they didn't give me the money, so I strangled her.
How did he get out with cops there?
We don't know. So in 2008, 2 years after this confession, with the help of several government agencies, they were able to locate him in Bangkok, Thailand,
where he was hiding. He ran to
Thailand.
Yeah, he was hiding from child pornography charges.
Of course.
Oh, man, why are there so many damn pedos?
Seriously.
So the DNA didn't match. And some of his story didn't line up either. Like it didn't make sense at all with the evidence. That
like,
the,
did he just want to go to jail?
Had.
Like, do you think like he had some sort of guilty conscience from other shit?
No, I think ultimately the cops said that they thought he wanted notoriety and fame.
Oh,
so they just didn't.
But
give
he was
it
like,
to
I'm just gonna be in Bangkok. You can't come get me or something.
Yeah, well, that was to avoid the previous child pornography charges. But this one was like he wanted to be known as. The guy.
Mental illness.
Yeah. And then also the Department of Homeland Security continued to investigate him because he always maintained that he didn't act alone, you know, and there was two sets of footprints. So they were like, well, maybe we should keep investigating him just in case he's associated. But then it was later confirmed that he wasn't even in Colorado at that time.
Oh, wow.
So it wasn't him.
In Bangkok the whole time?
It doesn't say where he was, but he wasn't in Colorado.
Damn.
Yeah. Okay. So then, there was also this other guy who I forgot to write down his name, but he was heavily suspicious too. So he was another creepo that was in the neighborhood, and he had confessed to his friend that he killed a girl right after the murder. And he had a stun gun and that matched, like, you know, where the dots lined up. And he had a pair of high-tech shoes, one of those, that brand of shoes. And apparently he got so scared when the police department was saying, we know you're going to be the last person on this list, that he committed suicide.
Whoa.
Oh my God. Maybe it was him then.
It could have been.
Like, why else would you just straight up commit suicide?
Maybe you're a little not all there.
Oh, I suppose.
I mean, it could have very well been him, but
it's like either he did it or he was crazy.
We'll never know. Yeah. Okay, so then. You were talking about the brother.
Yeah, that's the one I heard.
Hey, like, why didn't they investigate him? Okay, so in a CBS documentary that came out a few years ago, I think it was 2016.
Yeah, that's what I recently heard.
Yeah, in 2016, there is a CBS documentary. And by the way, before I get into this, he has been known to be very litigious. And he went after...
Litigious?
Oh, litigious.
Litigious?
Is it litigious?
No, it's not.
Is it not?
It's litigious.
That was litigious.
I only know that because from Clueless, like, her dad's a litigator.
Litigation. Okay, whatever. Sorry. Yeah. I'm done.
Anyway.
Litigator.
A litigator. Yeah.
Litigator. Well, I learned something new today.
Yeah. Okay, look, we live in a litigious society.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, okay. So anyway. So he's been known to go after people legally, and after this documentary came out, he sued several people that were associated with the documentary.
Oh, so we're not saying
brother?
He did it.
I'm not, these are no personal opinions, nor am I saying any of this is evidence that is real. This is just what was presented in the documentary. I'm just going to tell you what was presented in this documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Not my personal opinion, okay? So in this documentary, they had, first of all, they had a DNA expert named Dr. Henry Lee, who is known from the O.J. Simpson case, who examined the DNA, and he held this theory that the DNA from JonBenet's underwear may have possibly come from a factory that made the underwear. Mm. And he proved his theory by testing an unopened bag from the same brand of underwear, which showed to also have unknown male DNA on
that's
them.
What I, yeah, ew, what is the DNA?
Wash your shit before you wear it.
She probably got these, the underwear, whatever, for Christmas, and they just threw it on her.
Yeah.
The night before.
Yeah.
Wait, so, but it was also on her long john. So how wet was it to transfer to another piece of clothing? Or what kind of DNA was it?
I don't, it could have been like the same brand. Mm-hmm. Also,
it's the same guy just nutting on all these fucking new batches. Okay, why do we?
I don't think it was cum. Yeah, it wasn't cum. The DNA was a droplet of blood.
No, fucking snorting their snot everywhere. Oh my god! All the fucking new underwear.
Chinese people just like they cough with their mouth open.
Well, there's touch DNA now. Where you just, I touched this laptop and my DNA is on it now.
But on hard surfaces,
like skin cells?
Mm.
What? Yeah.
Not on clothing.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know all the forensics, but I do know that the science has gotten way better. But anyway,
so the
yeah.
DNA, they've been canceling all these suspects because it didn't match the DNA. And then they turn around and say the DNA is...
So in this documentary, because this doctor did not testify in court or anything, he's just in the documentary. But the documentary concluded because of this that this made the DNA fallacious and opens it up to all the previous suspects, right?
Yeah, right.
So that was the first thing, because if you remember, the Ramses were exonerated because their DNA didn't match. Mm-hmm. That was the only reason they stopped investigating them.
They're like, oh thank God they found some other DNA. I'm just kidding.
And by the way, they did look very, very sad that they lost their daughter. It wasn't
of
like
course.
They were like faking it or anything like that, but we don't know what happened. Like, why did the daughter die? Okay, so Burke Ramsey starts getting kind of like they kind of start digging down that rabbit hole in this documentary. And there were a few things that raised suspicions. So according to other stories of Burke that from people that knew him, such as the housekeeper.
The housekeeper?
Yeah, there was a housekeeper there. She at one point was a suspect, but then she got ruled out somehow. And there wasn't enough evidence at all to try to charge her with anything. But she kind of was telling stories of how the family acted. And Burke, apparently, according to people, he had kind of a temper problem. You know, he was aggressive towards his sister a lot. Like, they would fight and he would be really aggressive. At one time, he hit her with a golf club.
Damn.
So,
probably attention?
Maybe, because she was getting a lot of attention as a beauty pageant star.
I mean, also, like, kids, they fight each other. Like, siblings fight, like, they wrestle, they fight, like, but also him being a boy and him getting a little bit older, he might not realize his strength.
Yeah, you know? And he just was overpowering, for sure. Yeah.
He was only a couple years older than her, right? Like 4 years older?
Three?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's this pineapple theory where...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard this one.
Mm-hmm. This was in the documentary. So what was weird is there was pineapple... The night that she got murdered, there was pineapple left on the table. Pineapple with milk in it, which was Burke's favorite fruit. Burke loved pineapple with milk in it as a snack.
What the hell?
Yeah. And there was a bowl with Burke's fingerprints on it and Patsy's fingerprints on it. And Patsy washed the dishes, so maybe you know, it could have been her. But there was definitely Burke that was eating from this bowl. And this bowl was in the pictures from the crime scene that they took. So this is where they found this from. And a theory is that a lot of times, you know, they would get into sibling fights and he's very aggressive. A theory is that she might have tried to like take some of his pineapple, like to have some, because there was pineapple found in her stomach.
Oh.
And maybe he didn't like that, because this was an area of the house where only really Burke went anyway, because he had a train set down there. So he had a whole like model train set that went around a track.
In the basement?
Yeah. In the basement, in the spare room that was adjacent to the basement. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so it would really only be Burke that would know about or would be down there at all. And the theory is that JonBenet took someone's pineapple and then they got into a fight about it. They went down to that room and Burke hit her over the head really hard with part of his train track. Train Train set. Yeah, train track choo-choo set. Train. Yeah, a piece of that set. And the choo-choo markings train. The markings on her head from that fracture matched pieces of the train set. Oh. Also,
Thomas the Train.
Not Thomas face. The Train.
Got it.
It was like an actual, like, look, like, yeah, realistic. Like legit. Yeah. Okay. Also, those markings that we thought was a stun gun. It also perfectly matched the train track, the way that the pieces fit together.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that mark kind of matched. Maybe it wasn't a stun gun, right?
Because it's that just guy killed marks. Himself for no reason.
Also, the knots. Had other reasons. The knots, like, she's bound. It's like, well, who like bound her? Burke was in Boy Scouts and had a book full of knots, shit. Like different wow. ways of tying knots. And so the other theory is like, okay, so maybe he hit over the head. Got scared, and he's a small boy, so maybe he put it around her neck and dragged her to the room because he couldn't lift her up, because any adult would probably lift her into wherever she ended up, but the marks on the wires were pulling upwards.
Oh shit. Yeah. That's usually how getting dragged.
That's usually how you would kill
yeah
someone,
like if it was too. Around the back up, yeah, it could be upwards. But then some people were speculating that maybe it was like because he dragged her, maybe,
mm-hmm.
maybe, and she was still alive at this time. But maybe as a kid, you don't know that your sister's still alive, or that maybe you don't know. I don't know, or we just don't know. There's not enough evidence for what is happening. So there's just like speculation about this because this is a new theory. This was like 20 years after the fact, like, and no one had investigated Burke. Also,
when did the investigation of these train tracks happen, though? It can't be like 20 years later and they go back to the train tracks.
So they did a whole remodeling the crime scene. They rebuilt the basement to the T.
I guess they had pictures of the brand of the train tracks mm-hmm. and they could do the measuring yep. and all that.
Wow. Yeah, and so because this case is like, it's like the JFK case where it just is not solvable.
People just
yeah.
really
so people
know.
Get obsessed because yeah. they just want to solve it, right? Which is good because, like, come on, it's been 25 years. So these people reenacted the entire scene, and that's what they found, was that, like, there's pineapple in her stomach. There was pineapple found on the kitchen table. There's fingerprints from Burke on the pineapple. Like, he's known to have this past aggressive behavior with her. And then there's some videos of when they interrogate him after the murder. And this is, like, the initial, like, when they took him away to, like, just to have him away from the crime scene and everything, and they had a child, I don't know, interviewer or therapist mm-hmm. there that was, like, meant to make the child feel comfortable and also to kind of get their version of what happened. And in this video, he is not concerned or doesn't seem to be concerned at all about his sister just getting brutally murdered. He talks about how he's having a lot of fun playing video games, and the interviewer says, like, what do you know about how she died? How do you think she died? And he goes, well, I think, like, I think the kidnapper, like, took her, like, tiptoed maybe so no one could hear, took her out of the bed and took her down, and then maybe, like, stabbed her with a knife. I don't know. Or, like, and he's, like, just kind of, like, enthusiastic about reenacting wow. how he thinks his sister might have died. And he's laughing the whole time, and he's, it's just very odd behavior. And then the interviewer says, so do you feel safe in your house? And he's like, yeah, yeah, like, feel really good.
This is when he was a kid?
Yes. Damn. And this was right after.
He was,
like,
9.
So your sister just gets brutally murdered in your house right next to you, or, like, you know, in the same house as you, and he feels perfectly fine.
The kids' reactions
are
different.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. A coping
so
mechanism.
The argument about this is, like, it could also be coping mechanisms or
shock.
Trauma. He also talks about how like, exciting it is that the press wants to find him at his school, and, like, that everyone's asking where Burke is and stuff like that. And he's smiling the whole time. He also, as an adult, went on Dr. Phil's show and gave an interview and is smiling the whole time. And so people felt like it was really
creepy.
Just an odd person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can watch these videos.
Oh, I need to
because,
go back and watch that now.
Yeah, because it's pretty odd. But also during when he was a kid, the person asked him to draw a picture of his family. And he drew his mom, and then he drew his dad, and then he drew him. And then they were like, is there anyone else? Didn't draw anybody else.
Well, maybe because mm-hmm. she's dead, and that's how a kid just, like, well, she's not here anymore.
Yeah.
That was after she died?
Yeah. That was right after after she died. Also, they were asking him what his favorite fruit was, and they showed him a picture of the pineapple that was left on the table and asked him what it was, and he goes, oh, that's something. And he just won't say, he won't say what it is.
As an adult?
No, as a kid still.
Ooh, that's...
Yeah, weird. Yeah. So it's interesting. And I guess you could see where the documentary was going, mm-hmm. but there's still not enough, there's no evidence to really press any charges or make any convictions. And
well, also, like, say if it was a little kid, right? Like, obviously he's not going to be in jail because he's just like a little 10-year-old. So I guess it's more about if the parents helped him cover it
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the real
thing.
Issue.
And there was an interview with the 911 operator that took the call that day. And she says that what was really weird is at the end of the call, Patsy thought she hung up the phone, but it wasn't all the way hung up. So she was in hysterics. She was like, oh my God, they got my daughter, all this stuff. And then the phone was like, she thought it was hung up. And then she goes, okay, so I called the police. Now what? Oh. And hear what sounds like might be Burke's voice as a child in the background. And then the mom says, what did you do? But it's not confirmed. They had audio experts analyze the end of this call, and they said that it's too
muffled
okay. to really know for sure what was said and who said it.
Is the audio available for
yes.
people to hear?
Ooh. Yes, you can hear the audio. Also, what was weird about that is they had claimed that Burke was still sleeping at this time.
Oh.
So he shouldn't have been on the 911 call. And even if he wasn't sleeping, why did they say he was?
Yeah.
Like, why did they have to have that detail in there?
Yeah, they're clearly protecting him.
Which it seems that way. So that's what makes the Ramseys continue to be the center of who people think probably did it. But there's no, like, the evidence is so botched. Like, the crime scene is so botched that it's almost, like, impossible to know for sure. There was this one, and this is the last thing I'll say. There's this one investigator. His name's Lou Smith. He is like this badass fucking case solving investigator. He's just known to be a bulldog and just solve cases. He just like crushes cases. He has solved over 200 cases. He came out of retirement for this case because it just wasn't getting solved. Right. They like brought in the big dog. Right. And inevitably, he left the case because the police would not pursue the option of there being an intruder. And he feels with all his heart that it was an intruder. So even after he left the case, he continued to investigate because he really, really feels it's an intruder. Hmm. And he even his dying wish, like people were visiting him on his deathbed and he would not stop talking about the case even when he was on his deathbed.
Jeez.
And his dying wish was that this case does not die with him. He says he's like 100% sure it was an intruder. And so his family, his two granddaughters who are about the same age as JonBenet, started a podcast called The Victim's Shoes. And it's dedicated to this case because they promised him they would not stop searching for who the killer is and they would never stop finding evidence and investigating it. So they're saying it's very slow because it costs a lot of money and all this stuff, but they're never going to stop and they truly feel like it was an intruder. One of the reasons people thought it wasn't an intruder was that they thought the window was too small for a person to fit through. But then this guy, Lou Smith, just showed them that he could fit through it. Like, he actually went through it himself.
I wonder what made him feel so strongly about that, because it didn't seem like there was really any clear evidence.
Right? Yeah. He says that the police were so sure that it's someone in the Ramsey family that they won't even go pursue the thought of it being an intruder.
So he just doesn't like holes in their investigation methods.
And he just feels like the evidence is pointing to behavior that is normally consistent with a murderer or kidnapper.
Yeah.
Like from someone outside the home. He also personally interrogated John Ramsey, and he felt like their behavior was normal for parents that had gone through a kidnapping or a murder. Yeah, so that's bizarre.
Mm.
He just like really is hard set that it was an intruder.
Mm. Damn. Who do you guys think it was?
For legal purposes, we will not say who we think is the killer, but we have high suspicions.
I'm pretty thrown off by that investigator, yeah. like being a lifetime crime
right?
solving, and he doesn't think it was the family. So that kind of throws me off. I'm like, well, he seems to be the most expert we have in this whole case, because all the other cops blundered the whole thing. So if he's the most expert person on the case and he doesn't think it was them, then
yeah,
maybe it wasn't.
Yeah. So there's so much room for doubt in every direction that you go that it's like, because then I come back to the ransom note, like that definitely looks staged.
Yeah.
Jeez. But I don't know. Like, I don't know shit. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was a really stupid criminal.
Yeah, just like, I can picture like a pedo who's just kind of like an idiot, like a basement dweller type of dude. Yeah. You know, like, who's not very smart.
Writes 2.5 pages.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Oh, man, it's going to be one of those things. See, now, like, you know how they always ask you questions, like, when you die, what do you want to ask God? And be like, all right, who did it?
Yeah.
Man, right? I just need to know now.
That and JFK, I'm like, who?
Yeah.
Who? You tell me.
There's so many unsolved things.
I know. But this one, like, really just,
what happened,
like,
to Atlantis? Tell me. Was it real?
Mm-hmm. Well, the aliens still live there. So, yeah, of course it's real. But anyway, tell us in the comments who you think did it, because you are not under any sort of litigious activity. but I think this is just a really interesting case. It's very bizarre. There's so many things that don't add up. It's almost like there's so much information and then also not enough information all at the same time. And the deeper you dive, the less you know. Like, you just don't even know anymore.
Crazy.
So
it's crazy how many, like, what is it, pedo people are in that neighborhood.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, don't move to Boulder.
Or is it just the sex offender list, so maybe they're not all pedos?
Yeah, the sex offender list.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be above age, but so many child pornography charges.
Yeah, golly,
I mean, these people probably went to the pageants, come on.
Yeah. Gross.
Jesus. Yikesies. Yikes. Anyway, thanks for tuning in for Murder Mystery Mood. We love these and we love you. And if you have any requests, leave them in the comments. And if you think you know who done it, leave it in the comments.
Who done it?
And we'll see you soon.
Love you. Bye.
Make these pina coladas, though.
Yeah, they're good.
They're so good.